back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, along with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going, as usual. Actually, I'm doing some traveling tomorrow. I have my first of 5 weddings for this year.
Humble brag.
My cousin's getting married in Knoxville, Tennessee this weekend. So,
partied up.
Headed down there for the weekend, which will be fun. So, see some family, have a good time, and go to Tennessee. So, that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. Should be a nice party weekend, and maybe you'll be able to watch the Nashville Predators play some good hockey and not the Flyers. So
we'll see.
But we are post the All-Star break, even though it wasn't really that much of an All-Star break. And, well, in typical Flyer fashion, last night, really only one game to talk about. 6-3 loss to the Detroit Red Wings, who hadn't won in regulation in Philadelphia since 1993. Well, that streak got snapped last night with a 6-3 win they had over our Philadelphia Flyers. And a game in the first period, Matt, I texted you saying, hey, we might have a barn burner on our hands. And then just Detroit said, nah, we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
And the Flyers never recovered.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit scored 2 goals in every period. The Flyers with 2 goals in the first. The first period was definitely the best period. I'm a terrible fan, but I turned the game off after the first period to watch the Book of Boba Fett finale.
Watched it afterwards.
Yeah, so like, but I had the game on my iPad that I was streaming, so I was watching and seeing what happened. But it's like, the Flyers basically kind of just like petered out as the game went on, where they were like surprisingly showing resilience in the first period.
Oh yeah.
And like you were almost like confused, and then yeah, as the game went on, they pretty much got worse. The power play I think was like over 5 or something like that.
Over 5, and at one point they only had 4 players on the ice on the power play for like a minute, and they didn't even realize.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad.
Not good.
The Red Wings outshot them 34-24. Carter Hart played pretty well, but there were a couple goals that he said even in the post game that he wanted back. I think it was Pius Suter and Robbie Fabry's goal. One of the 6, I guess he wants back. He probably wants all 6 of them back, honestly. Yeah. But yeah, I mean the Flyers, like I said, they kind of got worse as the game went on. 0-for-5 on the power play. They were 2-for-3 on the penalty kill, but I don't know. It's one of those games where it was like you didn't want to expect it, but it was kind of the expected result anyway, because the Flyers have played down to teams for so many years where them doing this, especially after the All-Star break and being on a 2-game win streak, is not really a surprise.
Well, and also I think it makes a test for that how up-and-coming Detroit is. I really think like up until this game against the Flyers and Red Wings last night, I always thought the Flyers still had a little bit of a slight upper hand on the Red Wings. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. Moritz Seider, that dude's going to be a beast for a long, long time. Same with Lucas Raymond. The Red Wings, even though they've been pretty bad for the past couple of years, Steve Yzerman has done some magic there, and they're not going to go away for a couple of years. I think this is the start of another era of where we're going to see Detroit being a legitimate contender every single year yet again. Because Larkin's a hell of a player. Lucas Raymond's going to be awesome. Robbie Fabry's getting a chance with Detroit, and he was a high first-round pick. They've got guys like Vlasov and Mestikov, who, you know, who's a cemented player in this league. But the person who really impressed me last night was that Seider kid, good old German defenseman. He is good in all three zones on the ice. He can kick your ass physically, and he can make great offensive plays. Like, Detroit literally has gone from Nick Lidstrom to now they found Moritz Seider, who I might have the ball. I'll say on this podcast, he's their next franchise defenseman.
Seider?
Oh, yeah. And if Jake Rosing listens to this podcast, he's going to be all about this. But yet again, another team who we thought the Flyers were going to be better than, and they're behind the eight ball. So
yeah, I mean, this just kind of shows where it's like, and I hate to be negative here so early, but again, there's been a lot of negativity surrounding this team for so long now, where it shows how pretty much screwed the Flyers are, because our once stocked prospect pool is now pretty much gone.
The one you mean, the one that was called the best prospect pool in all of hockey by all the major beat writers.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden it's like they're here, and it's like, where's this star power again?
Yeah, I mean, the only guy that we have, I mean, obviously we have Cam York, but the only other top prospect we have, and this is no offense to other guys, but this is just like what I see every so often. This was yesterday or the other day. It was an NCAA ranking or some prospect ranking source. I forget what it was. Bad radio on my part. But Bobby Brink, the Flyers draft pick, was like, I think he is one of the leaders in the NCAA in scoring. And he's projected to be a good NHL player, but that's, I guess, easier said than done. But other than that, I mean, the Flyers' prospect system is nowhere near as good as it used to be, even though as good as it used to be is now, it didn't really work out anyway. So the future is a little bit dim. But, I mean, the Red Wings, they were in the playoffs for, what, 22 straight seasons. They finally missed the postseason. They were pretty awful for a good 3-4 seasons, and now they're on the rise again, and they have a lot of these good young talent that they've drafted or traded for, and it's beginning to play up. It's beginning to pay off. I don't know if they'll make the postseason this year, but they're in the right direction, I think.
So real quick, to focus on Bobby Brink real quick, in last season, 2020/2021 at the University of Denver in the good old NCAA, in 15 games played, he had 2 goals and 9 assists for 11 points. Okay. You know, injury-riddled year. His freshman year of college, 28 games, 11 goals, 13 assists, 24 points. 11 points last year. And this season, in 26 games played, he has 9 goals, 32 assists for 41 points. He's almost doubling a point per game player in the NCAA. Which is not known for scoring.
Yeah.
Might have something there. Thanks, Chuck.
I don't know.
I'm putting a strong emphasis on the word might.
Yeah.
In years past, I've been like, Bobby Brink, he's the next coming of Jesus Christ. The next hockey Jesus, here we go. And now I'm like, maybe.
Just, a huge maybe.
Underline, bolded, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, again, it all stems back to the. You can make the argument that drafting doesn't always work, but with all the promise and the pomp and circumstance surrounding the Flyers prospect pool, like 5 years ago, it was like you would have expected that we would have won at least one Stanley Cup by now,
or we would be a legitimate like contender every year, losing in the conference final.
Yeah, like, but.
And we sure as hell ain't that anymore.
We can't have nice things.
I mean, there was one positive last night. I mean, besides the positive of Carter Hart playing way better than this team deserves in net this whole entire season, because he is definitely not the problem. So I feel like the worry we had last year where the team was bad and Hart was bad in net that's gone away because the team has been bad in front of him, but Carter Hart's been good this season. But Isaac Ratcliffe got his first career NHL goal. And you know what? He's only played two or three games in the NHL right now. But the Isaac Ratcliffe, who I've seen so far with his limited brief stint with the Flyers, is a player who could stick in the NHL. And that's not what I saw of Isaac Ratcliffe when I watched him down with the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. So hopefully, you know, I hope Isaac Ratcliffe stays in the lineup the rest of the year because, you know, he got his first goal last night. He's been playing third, fourth line, and he has been playing like a big boy that he is. He's been hitting everything that moves. So if he can keep that up, you know, maybe he's found his role because there are some players who are better in the show than they are in the minors.
Yeah, I like I think that was he was the fourth line last night, right? It was him, McEwen, and who else?
I forget. Was it Mayhew?
Maybe. Oh, my iPad just crapped out. Sorry. My NHL app just wants to automatically update, I guess. But it was Mayhew. I think that's what it was. But that line was buzzing last night for a good portion of at least the first half of the game. But again, the Flyers as a whole got worse as the game went on. So that kind of just fell apart or sputtered out like the rest of the team. But I mean, their first few shifts, they were just like hitting everything that moved. Buzzing around in both zones, getting the goal and the scoring chance. I was even surprised that first goal the Flyers scored stood after they reviewed it for the goalie interference.
No, yeah, and the fact that in the first period when Detroit scored, the Flyers the next shift scored again, and I was like, oh, maybe they have learned something finally. And then just Detroit got better as the game went on, the Flyers got worse, and. I mean, yeah, the Flyers had a call go their way for once, which is always nice. They didn't score on the power play, of course, so they got for Detroit making the wrong call. Mm-hmm. But no, last night was not pretty, and understandably so. Finally, it came out today that Mike Yeo bag skated the team this morning. And good. They deserved it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, last night was not pretty.
He deserved it more than just last night. Probably. Yeah. If it wasn't so physically taxing, I would say they probably deserved it 9 times out of 10 every day this season.
If I were the head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers and this was going on, I would be Herb Brooksing them after games. Make him do suicides after a game at the arena. Give me the keys to the Wells Fargo Center. I'll lock up. This team needs a lesson. Mm-hmm. But of course, you're not going to do that the pros in today's society because that would be heavily frowned upon. But I feel like make them pay in practice. You know what? Don't give this team any days off. You know, if you're hurt, you're hurt, and then don't. But if you're out there on the ice, that means you're healthy enough to practice. So your ass is grass and you're there. Like at this point, I don't feel bad for any one of these players. And if any of the UFAs choose to stay this season, like, what are you doing? like Claude, I love you. Like Claude Giroux he's the second greatest Flyer of all time. But, and we touched on this a couple podcasts ago, but that man deserves to win a Stanley Cup and he needs to get traded at the deadline. But we're not going to get too close to that now because it's something we already hashed on. But is there really anything more we can say about this team, Matt? Like it's, unless we just copy and paste from previous podcasts. Like it's just last night was just like the same things we've seen, except for the first period.
Yeah.
You know, the second and third period was literally every single thing you've seen. And just like, I get Mike Yost trying to make different power plays up, but like in what world would Jerry Mayhew ever get on the power play in the minors where he belongs? Like, why is he on this second power play unit, and why weren't Morgan Frost and Cam York in the lineup? I don't want to see any more Gerald Mayhews or borderline fringed minor league guys who are only playing because the team sucks. The Flyers aren't going anywhere this year, and we need to see players who have something to improve. Cam York should be playing top four defensive minutes. See if he can handle the role. And Morgan Frost, guess what? You are a top six forward. Not because we want you to be, but because we need you to be. stick them there. If they sink or swim, I don't care. We know where we stand with that player then. Then move on from him if it's not going to work out. But I'm just so over seeing the Jerry Mayhews and the Chris Vandeveldes and insert player name here playing over a player who needs the NHL time and is the future of this franchise. You know, if the team is going to get better, it's going to be because players like Cam York developed into something. Morgan Frost finally became something. You see Ivan Provorov turn around. You see Travis Konechny turn around. Like, stop giving chances and wasting all of our time with these borderline fringe players. I don't want to see them play. I don't care about them. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know. It's exhausting just, like, trying to figure out, trying to diagnose what's wrong with this team. Because, I mean, literally anything and everything has gone wrong. Whether it's injuries or COVID or coaching or systems or anything like that, where it's just like you've kind of exhausted all your options at this point. And like, I mean, we'll see what happens with the supposed aggressive retool at the trade deadline. But I sure as hell don't buy anything that Dave Scott says. I think Fletcher, if I were Fletcher, I think I would kind of be torn between almost going above the chain of command and being like, screw you, Dave Scott, we're blowing the team up and we're starting over. Or like, does he kind of stay in line with what Scott wants to do and what Comcast Spectacor wants to do? But I think, again, nothing changes if nothing changes is the saying. So it's like if we continuously throw away these high value draft picks or players, and these guys come to Philadelphia and they don't pan out, we're going to be stuck in this. It's not even purgatory. It's just hell. Like, we're going to be stuck in just complete mediocre hockey for years to come. And it's going to be awful. Like, the Flyers are going to become I hate to say this, and it's definitely not really an over exaggeration. The Flyers would become the next Coyotes.
God, please no.
I don't think it would come to that, but I mean,
it would either, because you hear this mentioned on other NHL podcasts. Like, Steve Dangle has brought this up on his podcast, where like the Flyers are like considered almost an original six franchise in the league. In the league, always wants those teams to be doing well. The National Hockey League cannot afford for the Philadelphia Flyers to be that bad and to keep on being this bad. So you have to think, because they need the Flyers to be a moneymaker, because they help carry the league. That is what their brand has done.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think eventually at some point you'd feel like the Flyers would get that Pittsburgh luck or that Chicago Blackhawks luck, where all of a sudden you might not deserve a franchise level player, but all of a sudden you're picking first overall because, boy, the franchise needs it because we need more money in our pockets. And you know what? If that happened to the Flyers, I would not complain one bit, because it's about damn time it happened.
Yeah, and I mean, the Flyers have gotten to the point, especially, like, I'm pretty sure ever since that snow game against the Kings, the attendance at that game in a blizzard was higher than the past two games at home have been.
Yeah, it's been dropping.
Yeah, it's been steadily dropping over the at least the past three games. I'm sure more than just the past three, but it's like you can only. It's just there's too many gimmicks now. We have a new milkshake kiosk at the Wells Fargo Center. Nobody gives a shit about.
And they're like $40, and I heard they're like crappy, even though they looked good on TV. I heard from people who have gone to games, they are not worth the money at all.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to go to the Flyers game just to get a milkshake when I can get a milkshake at Wawa down the street from me. That's probably better than one that's going to give me instant diabetes.
Well, I mean, you can just drive down the road to Uncle Mike's ice cream shop there, Mastro, and you can get yourself a pretty good milkshake and have
it. So it's like, there's too many gimmicks with the Flyers now. Where we've seen it, it's been the Rage Room. Gritty.
That's Valerie Camillo, though. That's what she does.
Gritty has become a gimmick in many instances where it's like people are being soured by because Gritty is like, again, we've said this before, where it's like the Flyers are doing bad. Oh, here's a video of Gritty throwing a cake at someone. Like,
here's a new Gritty video game. Woo!
Yeah, like the Flyers are becoming what the Sixers were probably like 5 or 6 years ago. Actually, shout out to the Sixers. Great trade today for James. I almost said Jim because I can call JVR Jim Van Riemsdyk instead of James. But they got James Harden in a good trade. And Ben Simmons is now public enemy number one in Philadelphia sports, I think. So can't wait to see him come back to the Wells Fargo Center and get absolutely booed. But
don't you know, attendance, COVID protocol is hurting the Sixers' attendance there, Mastro.
That's BS. But as I was saying, people used to come to see the Sixers. They used to go see the Sixers for the opponent, where it was like, oh, the Warriors are going to be in town. Let's go see Steph Curry or Kevin Durant. Like, you would go to a Sixers game more to see the other team than you would to see the Sixers because the Sixers were so bad. And that's, like, obviously the Sixers have gotten a lot better, especially with the trade they just made today. But, like, that's become, at least in my opinion, what the Flyers are, where it's like, you would go see the Flyers versus the Jets to see, like, Mark Scheifele or Blake Wheeler or, like, or, I mean, any divisional opponent. Like, their next home game is the 17th against the Caps. You go see Ovi, you go see Carlson, you go see Oshie. Like, granted, like, I love the Flyers, but it's like, sometimes you go to games because of who's going to be in town. Like, if you go to Flyers Maple Leafs, you want to see Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner or Tavares. Like, but, like, you shouldn't go solely for that, where you're also excited to see the Flyers play. Like, but again, at this point, it's like, if I went to a game at this point, it would be the one game that I might go to the rest of this whole season is the last home game before the trade deadline, because that'll potentially be Claude Giroux's last game as a Flyer.
Sunday the 20th at 2:00 matinee against the New York Islanders. Maybe we make that a point to take a podcast field trip.
He might not even play in that game trade, because like he might. So like the only one before that is the St. Patrick's Day game.
Yeah, and then the next night they play in Ottawa. Yeah. So he'll definitely be playing. If he's not traded by then, if he is going to get traded, his last away game is in Ottawa, his hometown.
Yeah.
Man, I don't want to talk about Claude Giroux leaving. That's too sad.
That's going to be the only, I think, again, for every Flyers fan, for every competent Flyers fan, that the last couple games that Giroux could possibly be here are going to be the only quote-unquote marquee matchups that are left for this entire season. Like, I'm not going to pay, unless they're dirt cheap or someone offers me free tickets, I'm not even going to pay to go spend money at the Wells Fargo Center to watch the Flyers get just like to look like watch bad hockey live. Like, I don't want to do that. I got better things to do.
Let's check the good old StubHub, see how much tickets for the next home game are going for. Because I know I saw someone on Facebook today trying to sell their tickets for like $100 for two seats. I was like, there's no way those tickets are moving because no one's paying $50 a ticket right now. So yeah, tickets are starting for the next home game against the Capitals on the 17th at $25. The Monday night game coming up on the 21st against Carolina, $8 is the cheapest ticket.
Jesus.
$8.
Yeah, nothing changes if nothing changes. People are tired of the distractions. And like, they were even getting roasted the other day when they put out that video on Twitter of the Virtua Health guy and him like explaining like how to stretch your hips and stuff like that. And they were like, people were just roasting them about like how, like, if these are the people that are helping the Flyers stay, like, I feel terrible for the people that run that social media account, because they probably just constantly go into mentions and they're probably just getting FU'd here and there and trade everyone and like just it's got to be a complete mess.
Today they announced the hiring of two new people to the analytics department, and one of the people actually I followed him because of this, but he quote tweeted the tweet saying how great he was, and like, man, I hope he didn't go look at those mentions. Because
I don't think you need to be an analyst, an expert hockey analyst, to know that this team sucks.
Oh, and also all the people who are anti-analytics are like, what good are they going to do? And it was not pretty. But
unless they pull some money ball and take us to the Stanley Cup final within the next couple years, then no offense to them and their experience, but I'm going to count them out as being helpful.
But I guess there was some good news, some maybe some feel-good news earlier this week, Matt. Danny Briere, it had all been leaked and reported. You know, we heard how big of a role he was been taking in the organization with the Chuck Fletcher and Dave Scott press conference. And then a report leaked from Crossing Broad that the Flyers were going to name him the newest assistant general manager. Well, he wasn't named that. But he was named the Dwight Schrute of the Philadelphia Flyers. Danny Briere was named the special assistant to the general manager. So Danny Briere is now Dwight Schrute, and Chuck Fletcher is Michael Scott. And, all signs point to being, I guess, at some point, if, you know, Chuck Fletcher's replacement is here. I feel like it's been confirmed, and Danny B is back with the organization, and I guess it's good that he's here, and the Flyers didn't want to lose him because, you know, they were getting some interest from Montreal and other teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really sure what the special assistant to the general manager does, but, you know, if it makes the hockey team better, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like he'll kind of be like a – I don't know how much of a voice he'll have in things for the time being, but it sounds like he's, yeah, hopefully. But like, he'll kind of be, I guess, like Fletcher's right hand man, so to speak, where, he definitely has a better grip. I think he definitely has a better grasp on things, at least hockey wise, than Dave Scott would. So that's probably good to have someone like Briere in Fletcher's ear. And then, he could, like you said, he could just be grooming him to be the next GM at some point. He would hope that like Fletcher would either step down or like retire, I guess, so to speak.
Or be promoted to president.
Yeah. But then like you would hate, I don't know how awkward that would be, like if you train your, like, but again, he probably knows that he's going somewhere anyway. So it's like he's probably grooming Briere to some degree to potentially one day be the GM of the team. And like you said, Fletcher would ideally move up to team president, and I guess Holmgren would retire.
Or he'd be named an advisor of some type.
Yeah. Know?
It's the they Flyers. Lot, they don't fire anyone, really.
All these new positions, like, for everyone. Like, Holmgren will be the special assistant to the vice president of hockey operations for the marketing department. Like, it'll be some long-ass title that's, like, a whole sentence of just names. So, but again, it's good to have Briere back in the organization. It was cool. I think Jordan Hall and a couple of the other beats tweeted out pictures of him and Fletcher in like the crow's nest above the ice at the skate zone for practice the other day. So that was cool to see. And it'll just be interesting to see kind of like just where it goes from here.
Yeah, definitely. I don't really have much more to say on that. Just, I hope Danny B can help turn around this franchise, because, man, we need the Flyers to be good. I need the Flyers to be good. Oh, man. Yeah. But,
with that being said, we can stick with the Flyers for one more thing, but that'll be a nice segue and a nice fade. If we had like visual effects, we could fade into like Wayne's World around the league. But in case you didn't know, the All-Star weekend was this past weekend, February 4th and 5th, in Las Vegas. Friday night was the skills competition, which was interesting to say the least. Mm-hmm. I was on and off watching it in the background, but it was like, like we said last week, it gets to be like cringe to some degree.
Very.
So, but it was cool to see. I mean, like they did the couple of new events on the fountain, and then the blackjack on the Vegas Strip,
which were both pre-recorded the night before.
Yeah. So like that was a little weird. And again, like you're broadcasting it for what, almost like 3 hours. So yeah. It's like, people just get like, it's hard to hold people's attention for that long. So it's like, you kind of get up and you do other things while you're kind of having on, and you wait until the next event's set up or something like that. But it was cool. I mean, they had the usual, the fastest skater, hardest shot, breakaway challenge was cool. They had the special guest. They had men on Raum, like we said, what's his name? Kurt Russell's son, Wyatt
yeah.
Russell.
Yeah. Wyatt Russell.
And then still think it's hilarious that Trevor Zegras was a special guest, but not an actual all-star.
Dumb. So dumb. He should have been an all-star. And he was robbed of the breakaway title. The fact that Pietrangelo won that, and that the joke was, oh, the house always wins. Come on. Boo.
Yeah. But then the main event took place. Dude, I completely forgot the game was on at 3 o'clock on Saturday. I'm sitting here. I'm like, I'm watching like Netflix or something, laying on my couch. And then one of my friends texted me and was like, did you guys just see that Giroux goal? And I'm like, oh, the game's on. Like, oh,
right.
Yeah. Like, so I like immediately flipped to it. And then luckily I saw the replay of Giroux's goal. But I mean, yeah, he had that really nice goal in the first game. It was the Metro versus the Pacific, I believe. Yeah.
And you can tell John Gibson gives zero craps about all-star games, because everyone he's been in, he's been awful.
Yeah.
They looked like us out there playing beer league.
Yeah. But I mean,
they probably hung over from the night before too, after partying in Vegas.
Yeah. But it made it even better that Giroux, he had himself a day, and
he
won the MVP for the all-star game. He got a nice little, he got a Honda SUV.
And you know, then, he's selling that or giving it to someone in his family. Like, oh, you need a new car? Here you go.
He wanted nothing to do with the interview with Emily Kaplan from ESPN. Nothing. I don't know why, but like, he just kind of seemed like he wanted to like get out of there and like.
Because the players hate the All-Star game.
Yeah.
They all thought they'd be at the Olympics right now, and yet, no, here they are in Vegas doing things they do every year that they literally have to do. Because the league goes, if you don't, you're suspended a game.
Yep.
The NHL needs to find a way to make players want to go to this thing again. They got to change it up somehow.
Yeah, but Giroux with a multi-point night, I think he had 3 goals and like two or three assists. Stats again. Stats are irrelevant in the All-Star game, but he did enough to win the MVP, which is sweet.
I know Tristan Jarry and Nett almost blew it in the championship game.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pittsburgh scum.
But yeah, I mean, it was fun to watch, but I think the All-Star game's tough because like the 3-on-3 was cool at first, but now it's kind of getting stale.
Yes.
So it's like, what more do you do? Do you go back to the 5-on-5, or do you do like a fan, like, or if you, to make the 3-on-3 at least more, a little bit more interesting, you bring back the fantasy draft.
I would do that.
You don't have the divisions. You have like captains from each division. And then you have like they did in back in the old days when they had all the players lined up and they would just pick them. They don't have to necessarily make a show out of it, 'cause that would get boring. But, have the fan, no, because I guess fan votes wouldn't really work, but NHL marketing, figure something out.
That's a tall task for it. The NHL has terrible marketing. Apparently the All-Star game was like barely marketed and advertised in Vegas at all.
Dude, I got a like on my tweet from when Yandle broke the record and did the Iron Man thing before the game was it against the Kings?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I tweeted, like, they should have given Yandle an actual Iron Man helmet with the logos of his teams, the record, and some key dates and his stats. And one of the people that liked it, she's the coordinator of the Capitals game presentation. So that was pretty cool, because, like, I added the NHL's PR account, and I was like, you could have made this so much cooler. Like we were talking about how Chris Russell got the silver shin pads for the block shots record. Like, imagine an actual Iron Man helmet for Yandle to put.
Pay Disney so much in royalties to do that.
Yeah, but you have ESPN as your main TV rights holder.
That's true.
So it's like, and then ESPN's owned by Disney. NHL, figure it out. Like, come on. Like, so.
Bitter patter.
But, yeah, I mean, the All-Star game, I think, is getting stale. The All-Star game, I guess, in every event, like, I don't know anyone who paid any attention to the Pro Bowl. Like, no one. Yeah, like, so, I mean, I don't really, like, the only thing I watch for the MLB All-Star weekend is the Home Run Derby.
Is the Home Run Derby. Who cares? Yeah. I mean, at least the game is somewhat important because whoever wins the game gets to host the World Series. Like, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like if you did something like that in hockey, it would definitely, I think, well, one, it would probably get a lot of, like, old school hockey people, like, butthurt. It's like, oh, well, then you're throwing out the home ice advantage and best team record. Well, it helps make the All-Star game mean something like that. Back in the day, there used to be legitimate fights in the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. Like, it was an actual hockey game where players went hard. And if you performed at the All-Star game, you got rewarded by your team. That's gone now. It's all, like, I'm not trying to be old man yells at cloud, but, like, it's boring now. Like, no one cares about the All-Star game anymore. The fans and the players just don't give a shit.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most excited I would be about an All-Star weekend would be if it came to Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, because then I would go.
Yeah.
You know?
Because that's just like a bucket list thing as a hockey fan.
Yeah, because it's in your hometown. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. Like, but it's like, even when we went to the draft back in, what was that, 20-something?
The Aaron Ekblad draft.
Was that 2015?
Yeah, that was the year we drafted Sanheim.
Yeah. But, like, even when we went to that, like, it wasn't really the most entertaining thing, but it was still, like, you could still say, like, hey, I went to the first round of an NHL draft. Like, and then they also had tickets for...
2014 draft.
Wow, we're old. But, I mean, that was cool, like, because I can say that I've been to a draft. Like, we can both say we've been to an outdoor game. Like, there's stuff that we can say that we, like, we're fortunate enough to do this stuff as fans over the years, but... And that's, like, the one... Besides seeing a Stanley Cup final game, because, I mean, I've seen multiple playoff games, lucky enough to see some of them. But, I mean, an All-Star game, an All-Star weekend would be cool in Philadelphia because there would be a lot of stuff going on around the city, around the arena. You'd have the actual, like, the skills competition, the games. I mean, it would be cool to see that. But, again, I think it's – if you're not actually there, it's kind of – it's a tough thing to broadcast.
Yep. Very hard.
And it would, I mean, for any sport, if you had guys that were mic'd up and it was, like, unedited, like, they're cursing and, like, talking about, like, when they went out the night before, like, I would pay, like, do some pay-per-view stuff.
Pay-per-view hockey? I'd be down for that.
Like, I would pay for that. That'd be sick. Like, I don't know. But I think, again, I'm sure they'll figure, or at least I hope they figure something out to kind of refresh the All-Star game.
They really do need to.
But... So. Besides that, Giroux won MVP. He got a car. He also got a massive, like, fake key fob. And then the Metro Division reigns supreme once again. They won the mini 3-on-3 tournament, and they all got to split $1 million. So that probably went right to the Vegas casinos or clubs because
or charities. I'm sure
all the players and all the alumni were tearing it up in Vegas that weekend, as they should.
Did you see the one tweet of, like, some, like, reporter who is, like, a Kings reporter? She, like, posted a picture of Zegras, who's only 20 years old, drinking a beer, partying with RA from Chicklets, saying, like, is this who you want to be a role model? Like, shut up. Like, he's in the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, of course he's going to be, like, he's a hockey player. He's also 20 years old. Months before turning 21. He's in Vegas. What, do you think he'd be drinking sparkling cider?
But that's also, I mean, like,
deaf and dumb. Did you not go to high school, you yourself?
I feel like that's, yeah. I mean, I feel like also, too, like, a lot of that stuff is kind of, like, on the down low, where it's, like, you know what's happening, but, like, this, like, the...
It's not brought to light.
Yeah, it's not brought to light until after the fact, where it's like players are retired or they're older. Like, we see it, we hear it on like Spit and Chicklets or Missing Curfew, where guys come on and they tell stories about crazy stuff that happens after games or on road trips. But it's like, especially nowadays with social media and all that, no one's going to be like, yeah, like me, R.A. and Dylan Larkin and Claude Giroux all got blacked out at the MGM Grand Casino.
Shotgun yeah, under like, lights.
Yeah, and then went swimming in the Bellagio fountains. Like, no one's going to say that. Like,
because
it just looks bad on everyone's part. So,
yeah.
But again, it's like any normal person, especially, and I mean, obviously, professional athletes aren't really normal people, but they're still people in general. Any person who gets any amount of fame is going to go off the.
The rules don't apply to them.
Yeah, which and they, rightfully so. Like, they're professional athletes.
To an extent. To an extent.
Yeah. But, like, when it comes to having a good time, let the boys play, as they say.
Yes.
But
as long as nothing super, super illegal happens.
Yes. Keep it responsible. Keep it legal. But, you know, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so. All-Star Weekend, a great weekend. Dave, do you have anything else to say on All-Star Weekend before we move on here? We have a very back-heavy around the league because a lot of stuff went down.
And we got like 20 minutes to get through it, too. So let's hop aboard around the league train here.
I will try and do a blanket statement for this next topic of discussion.
And I will try not to run my mouth on it as well.
Gotcha. So we have multiple hirings and a couple firings. And a couple extensions as well. So I will start with the hirings. Or do you want to start with firings?
It's your train, sir. Whatever
right,
you want
we're
to do.
Go with, we'll go with firings because this is the first thing on my screen on my iPad. If you didn't hear and if you didn't know, the Edmonton Oilers are a complete mess. Probably more of a mess than the Flyers because they have legit two of the best players in the world on their team.
Yes.
And they are in just shambles. Earlier today, head coach Dave Tippett was fired and was replaced by Jay Woodcroft, who was coach of the Bakersfield Condors in the AHL. And Edmonton also fired their assistant coach Jim Playfair. GM Ken Holland said, quote, "I think it's a gut feel. I've been around the NHL, around teams a long time, and I just felt it needed to make a decision. It's a very difficult day, a tough day. They're both good men. They poured their heart and soul into the Edmonton Oilers for the last 2.5 years. I felt I needed to make a decision and told Tip and Jim this morning, and I made a decision to hire Jay Woodcroft and Dave Manson to come here and replace them." I got to catch my breath after that quote. Sorry. Tippett was 95, 62, and 14 in three seasons with Edmonton, 1-7 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Edmonton has been eliminated in the first round of the past two postseasons, including being swept by the Jets last season. The Oilers are just they began the season 16-5, but have pretty much imploded since then and have been 7-13-3 and are fifth in the Pacific Division. They're 5 points out of the second wild card spot as well in the Western Conference. So it's tough being a Flyers fan, but it's also probably a little bit more tough being the Oilers because you have all that talent in McDavid and Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins. They have good players, but they don't have the right mix. And I think, what is this? McDavid now has had four different coaches in five years.
It's fifth head coach, I think, and this will be Nugent Hopkins' 12th.
I think it's Nugent Hopkins' 11th coach in 12 years. So, but, yeah, it's bad up in Edmonton.
I mean, Edmonton's problem is the fact that, yes, they have McDavid, they have Draisaitl, they have Darnell Nurse, and really that's about it. Nothing else around them is, like... Evan Bouchard could become something on defense, but they don't have any goaltending. Their defense besides Bouchard and Nurse is awful. And all their offense besides McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins is also not good. And if I'm McDavid and Draisaitl, I might start to look the other way and look at other teams because with how they're currently coached and how they've been run as an organization, like whatever magic Ken Holland had as a GM, he used it all when he was with Detroit, because he has not done anything remotely good in Edmonton so far. Mm-hmm. And you're counting on Mikko Koskinen, who was an okay KHL goalie, and then Mike Smith, who's in his late 30s, I think young 40s maybe now at this point, to be your two starting goaltenders. Like, that doesn't sound successful. Like, there were other options. You had a chance for other options, but you said, "Now we'll run it back. You know, this we're only 1-7 in the playoffs in the past couple of years. This will be fine. This is recipe for success." I feel bad for Edmonton fans too, because I feel like they've been bad every year I've been a hockey fan. Like, except for, of course, when they had Gretzky, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then that one year where they went to the finals and lost against Carolina, kind of that luck run.
Mm-hmm.
They've been just not good. And I mean, at what point does this also come to hurt McDavid? Because at this point in Ovechkin's career, you are hearing him being called a coach killer. All right, well, here you are, McDavid. Coach number 5 now. What you doing, bud? You disappear in the playoffs. You only show up in the regular season.
Yeah.
Are you the best player in the world? Don't think so. Because the best player in the world shows up at all times. Like McKinnon. Like Crosby. McDavid, you ain't there yet. That's my spicy take for the evening.
I like it. I like it. So that's our first firing. Our second one came in the form of Dominic Ducharme from the Montreal Canadiens. He was replaced by a little bit of a surprising replacement. Martin St. Louis will take over the bench for the Montreal Canadiens for the rest of the season. And they've already made it clear that they're going to look for another coach after the season. It seems like St. Louis. I mean, I listened to bits and pieces of his press conference from earlier today, and he seems like he has some good, he had some good quotes and some good just kind of like beliefs on how he's going to run the show. So, I mean, I think it's way too late for Montreal to turn it around, but it'll be interesting to see St. Louis. I mean, I'm assuming he wants to be a coach for more than just them this season. So this will be a good kind of test the waters for him.
Yeah, Montreal just needs to not ruin what they have. Like, Nick Suzuki is a nice piece to build around in the future. Like, they do have some nice pieces, but like, Montreal need to realize that their run of the Stanley Cup final last year was just dumb luck. Mm-hmm. Like, they got Carey Price caught a heater, and Shea Weber's managed to keep himself glued together for the postseason run, and that's why they went there. Because you've seen this year, Carey Price hasn't played. Shea Weber's career's over with. And they're just not good. Like, they're on pace to be, like, the worst team since in the salary cap era, like, ever. Like, they're on pace to be that bad. Which isn't good. It's not good for the league either, because, Montreal, most storied franchise in all of hockey. But I mean, they have some nice pieces, but you know, they've got Suzuki, Romanov, Cole Caulfield. I mean, they're good pieces to build around. I'm not sure if I'm sold on Caden Primeau as a starting goalie, but I mean, he did well in college and well the U.S. National Development Program. I'm just partially frowned upon Caden Primeau because when I worked at Revolution Ice Gardens as a Zamboni driver, when he was there playing for the Revolution and when his dad was running things there, he was a dick to all the rink staff. Mm-hmm. So I don't really care if he succeeds or does well because he was an asshole to me and I'm a petty son of a bitch. What can I say? But he's been good. But taking my personal looking at things from a hockey side of things, he had been good in college. He'd been good in the minor leagues, just he's not ready for the NHL yet. And they keep on throwing him out there, and he keeps on getting lit up. Like, they just lost 7-1 to the New Jersey Devils. And they let him in for all 7 goals. Like, that, you can't do that. Send him back to the minors and call up some washed up pro who, you know, you're not going to damage him or ruin him, because right now you might have the heir apparent to Carey Price. You cannot mess with that, or else your franchise is screwed.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in St. Louis. But I mean, again, from what I've seen from his quotes and stuff like that, and it's the picture of his quads are going around on Twitter, like,
man, rocket.
Yeah. So, I mean, if his coaching style is as strong as his legs are, I guess the Canadians will be all right for the rest of the year.
I mean, maybe they'll start having some fun. I liked his quote today saying how, like, he doesn't really believe in systems. And when he said it, when I was a player, I didn't like being in the system because then I felt I was limited and I couldn't do things. And he said I would rather have guys try and be creative and make mistakes and then learn from that and be better that way and not be limited to a set system. So, I mean, I feel like that team just needs a spark. And even, like, they're probably going to pick first overall this year, but they need a little bit of a winning streak just so they can have fun playing hockey again.
Yeah. I guess for time's sake, Dave, a lot of this stuff has been big news around the NHL and on Twitter and social media and so forth. So I'll just kind of rattle off these last few, and I'll let you give a kind of blanket statement bouncing around to all of them. This is no offense to anyone that got hired or anything like that. It's just, again, for the sake of time.
We don't care about you.
Yeah. earlier today, it was announced that Cammy Granato was named the assistant GM of the Vancouver Canucks. She's the second woman hired as an assistant GM by the Canucks in the past month after Emily Castonguay joined them on January 24th. She's also the third woman to be an assistant GM in NHL history, with Angela Gorgone held the position with the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim during the 1996-97 season. Congrats to Cammy. And then next, we're jumping to a retirement. Tuukka Rask announced his retirement yesterday after kind of for lack of better terms here, a failed comeback to get back in the NHL after an absence earlier this season after some injury troubles last season. So, Tuukka, we wish you the best in retirement. It was good that I guess he didn't pull a Tom Brady and actually mention the Bruins and their fans in his statements. So, Tuukka, congrats on your retirement. We wish you the best. Craig Berube is staying in St. Louis for at least another 3 years, or is at least signed to a 3-year contract. He signed with the Blues on Wednesday, an extension that runs through the 2024-25 season. He was slated to become, I guess, a quote-unquote free agent after this season. So, Berube, congrats on the new ticket. Moving on, what do we got? Jack Eichel practiced with the Golden Knights wearing a full contact jersey for the first time yesterday, which is big news. So we'll probably see him in a Golden Knights jersey for the first time in the next couple weeks, maybe. Moving on, too, we go to Tampa Bay now with Pat Maroon signing a 2-year, $2 million contract extension. He was slated to be a free agent after this season. It has an annual AAV of $1 million. Maroon, congrats on the new ticket as well. And one more hiring. We have Scott Niedermeyer named special advisor to hockey operations for the Anaheim Ducks on Tuesday. He's a Hall of Fame defenseman, 4-time Stanley Cup champion. Obviously, you've heard of Scott Niedermeyer if you're a hockey fan. He played 5 seasons with the Ducks and was the captain when the Ducks won the Stanley Cup back in 07. Also won the Conn Smythe that year as the most valuable player of the playoffs. And he now has a bigger role with the Anaheim Ducks. Dave, that does it for around the league. If you would care to roll all of those into a burrito of a speech, then now's your chance.
I like the Cammy Granato hiring. I'm glad the NHL teams are starting to hire more women, because there are women who have very smart hockey minds, and they should be getting jobs, obviously. Tuukka Rask, it sucks, but also doesn't kind of suck that he had to retire, because, I mean, he came back and he kicked the Flyers' ass in that. But then he got hurt, and it stinks for Boston, because Boston really, I think that was the plan all along. He was going to be their, big right before the midseason acquisition and free agency and solidify their goaltending, and they were going to go in one last playoff push with Rask and Bergeron and Marchand and crew. And just due to COVID this year, he couldn't get in enough conditioning time in the American Hockey League. And he just shows he wasn't ready to come back to the show when he got hurt. And now he's calling it a career. I'll never forget lighting you up in that reverse sweep back in 2010. But, you know, it's a shame he never actually won a cup as a starting goaltender in Boston. He lost it a couple times. But, you know, he did win a cup championship. I believe he's medaled at the Olympics. He's the Bruins' all-time winningest goaltender. He'll probably have his number retired by them. I think he's a Hall of Famer. So good for Tuukka. I wish him nothing but the best. Good for Chief. It seems like he finally learned, you know, he didn't succeed here in Philly, but he relearned on how to be a legitimate NHL coach, and he's had that success with St. Louis. So good for Chief. Good for good old Norm going back to Anaheim. You know, love to see it. I think, you know, he's a big integral part of that team, and they are definitely on the up and up. I mean, they've got John Gibson, who's one of the best goaltenders in the world right now. They've got Trevor Zegras, Troy Terry, and Jamie Drysdale, along with Hampus Lindholm and Cam Fowler. Like, they're a team that's going to be good for a long time coming up here. What was the one? I'm missing one, Matt. I'm blanking on the last one.
Granato?
No, we did Granato. I brought up Chief. I brought off Tuukka. I brought up Norm.
Maroon.
Oh, Patty Maroon, big rig. You know, really good for Patrick Maroon, former Philadelphia Phantom, who Paul Holmgren thought was too fat to play in the NHL, and the Flyers had a big fight with him, and they let him go. And he's gone on to have one hell of a career. But good for him, finally getting some contract stability and contract extensions. You know, good for him. He's found a home in Tampa, and they like what he does, and he likes being there. I mean, who wouldn't love playing hockey in Tampa Bay? I mean, it's perfect. So good for Big Rig. You know, he's won 3 cups now with the Blues and 2 with the Lightning, and he's got a chance. As long as he's playing with the Lightning, and the Lightning are the Lightning, he's got a chance to win a cup every season. So, no, all good things. So, yeah. I hope I didn't ramble too much and that made some sense.
Oh, I think you did the best you could for a rapid fire there. So we definitely did the best we could with that. Again, we could go on for a couple hours, I think, about all this. But to give the people at home a break from hearing our voices for the week, we'll keep it short and sweet, but still get the nice chunks of it for everyone out there. But other than that, I mean, the Flyers with a game on Saturday at noon, at high noon in Detroit, against the Red Wings.
Good old noon matinee.
Followed by the 15th at Pittsburgh, and then they come home to the Washington Capitals on the 17th. So at this point, all we can say is let's just see what happens. We're not going to even pretend to predict what this team's going to do. So with that being said, Dave, I'll throw it over to you for – You gotta give us a some uncertain phrase with the word Flyers in it to end it.
I mean, do need to give a big shout out to our affiliates in the Pilot Street Bullies, who I believe right after last week's episode, we celebrated 1 year of affiliation with them.
Yes.
And they just had on friend of the pod and former guest Jim Jackson, the voice of
he's also the play-by-play for the Flyers.
Yeah, the voice of the Philadelphia Flyers.
First and foremost, though, he's a friend of the pod and
exactly.
And a guest.
But they just had Jim Jackson, Jim J. Philly, on the latest episode of the Pod Street Bullies. They kind of went into a full dive, like a mid-season review of the Flyers. It is, if you've never listened to the Pod Street Bullies before, listen to that podcast. It is a really good episode, and like Jim was on our podcast. You see another side of the man that you don't see on TV. And he has a lot of good insight and a lot of good information. So big shout out to our affiliates in Pod Street Bullies. They've been nothing but great to us as affiliates. And huge props to them getting Jim Jackson on the pod. Yeah, so make sure you check them out, obviously. And as always, thanks for everyone who listens to our podcasts every week, because I don't know how you do it, but you know what I mean? Because, like, you know, the Flyers suck, so we're talking about the same things every week. And at this point, if you're watching this hockey team, if you're listening to podcasts about this hockey team, you are a devoted fan. So I give you, I tip my cap to you, sir or madam. But yeah, and then I'm not going to end the podcast by saying, let's go Flyers. I just want the Flyers to do good. You know, like, you had that little, that two-game heater you went on for the All-Star break, and then you crapped the bed last night against the Detroit Red Wings. So we'll see what happens. Maybe get some revenge in Motown Saturday. But a couple big games coming up next week against the Penguins and the Capitals, and maybe you get some revenge against the Penguins, because hopefully you're not playing them with an American Hockey League squad this time. So, you know, we'll see what happens from there. But with that, everyone, thank you, as always, for your listenership and your patronage. And we will see you on the flip side. Have a great rest of your week and weekend.